Thank you very much for coming. My name is Darren from HJ.Tax. I'm a tax advisor, and this is?
My name is Michael Dai. I'm a U.S. immigration lawyer, and we're based primarily in California. We have an office here in Dubai as well. I'm back and forth every month, and so we handle all U.S. immigration.
And then our team would help with pre-immigration tax planning, and then once you actually make the move, compliance to actually doing the tax returns. In the U.S. and any other jurisdictions to which you may be exposed. The number one thing has to be moving there without getting tax advice. Because, I mean, there's this sticker shock, especially if someone is well-to-do and they have substantial investments outside. They are shocked by the reality that even though the assets, the income-producing asset is located in Pakistan or the Gulf or whatever, it is fully taxable to the U.S. under certain circumstances. So it's just the shock that really everything is taxable, all the income flows. The asset reporting requirements, so for foreign investments, foreign companies, foreign rental properties here in Dubai, the fact that everything is reportable, and in many cultures and in many jurisdictions, the assets are family owned, right? So it's, you're in the US, but you have joint accounts with mom who's still outside, or a cousin or brother or sibling, and then suddenly you have inadvertently exposed family members who had no intention of moving to the U.S., you're exposing them to the U.S. tax system. So I guess the two biggest shocks would be the existence of a tax bill on everything that you earn, and then secondly, the fact that everything and potentially members of the family who didn't want this, they're pulled into the tax net. I think those are the two biggest areas of displeasure that we see.
Yeah, I would say a lot of times too, people don't understand that it actually does happen that first day.
Yeah.
When you appear at the airport with your immigrant visa, you're coming for the first time, you enter that day as a resident.
Mm.
You get a stamp, it's called an I-551 stamp. It's a resident stamp. And that acts as your residency before the card, like the green card, comes in the mail about a month later. But on that day, they consider you a resident for tax purposes.
So we've seen situations where people or families were about to make the move, and they're like weeks away from it. And then when I speak to them, and I'm the bearer of bad news, the fact that everything is going to be exposed, you know, they apply brakes. And I think, oh, okay, I need more time to get things in order, which is perhaps the right thing to do. Just get things done before, not try to do it after. It's too late.
I think that's a really good point, too, because if you go through the immigrant visa process, once you're at the very end, you're at your interview at the embassy, and you get your passport back with the visa, it has an expiration date on the visa for you to enter the U.S. that first time. And usually it's depends on the consular officer, but it's usually about 4 months to enter. And so during that 4 month period, you've got to enter before that expires, because it's really difficult to get that extended. So you're stuck at that point. But if you plan before that, you know, when you lodge your petition for that immigrant visa, sometimes you have 1, 2, 3 years to get things in order before the petition's approved, and then your case moves to the embassy. So it's best to start right at the very beginning. For L1, it usually also depends on the consular officer too. Usually for L's, they give you about 90 days to enter. It just depends. You should start thinking about all of these things before you hit that point, for sure.